So let's continue with today's Torah portion and also scriptures. Today I would like to speak and focus on Pesach and especially on one very important lesson of Passover. Be faithful to the end. Can we type together? Be faithful to the end. Today is the day before Pesach. Tomorrow night is the first day of Pesach. Many historic events distinguish our people from other people groups, but none is of greater importance to us. None is more remembered by us than the great days of our deliverance from our slavery in Egypt. How well we recall our inheritable liberation when the Lord, by His mighty hand, brought us out of Egypt, when He brought 10 judgments upon the land of our captivity, when He parted the sea that blocked our flight and then rolled it back upon an army of Egyptian chariots. And every year since that day, we gather with family and friends to commemorate and celebrate that mighty miracle and to repeat for ourselves the entire story of our exodus from bondage in Egypt. We who are Messianic believers, we understand that the Messiah is no longer an expectation, but a realization. Therefore, we celebrate this holiday in its fullness as a Messianic believers. We can boldly celebrate our Messiah, who is our Passover, who is our Exodus, the Passover lamb slain for us. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. This is a very important place of scripture for us. Get rid of the old hametz, so you may be a new batch, just as you are unleavened. For Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Yeshua, our Messiah, our Passover lamb. Certainly, we join all our people as they rejoice in their history of that first Passover. But we also celebrate the fulfillment of its prophetic and spiritual implications. So dramatic was our release from the bondage of Egypt. So dramatic our release from the bondage of sin. The long foreshadowed Messiah has come, and only through the blood of the perfect sacrifice is there salvation and the opportunity to accomplish the great Exodus. Let's think about this together today. The first Passover was the Exodus of the Jewish people from Egyptian slavery and the birth of Israel as a people with its own structure, laws, and self-determination. The second Passover, through Messiah Yeshua, offered relief from the most terrible kind of slavery, the slavery of sin and death, and resulted in the birth of a new people, children of God, who through accepting the sacrifice of the Messiah become new creatures, free from fear, free from eternal death. At the first Pesach, more than 2 million Jews were joined by many other from other people groups living in Egypt, and all left Egypt together. The second Pesach brought deliverance of a very different kind, first to the Jews, but to everyone else also. The first Pesach was a one-time event in Egypt. The second Pesach began more than 2,000 years later, bringing deliverance first to the people of Jerusalem, and to this day, still offering deliverance to millions of people all around the world. Yes, that first Pesach was an event of great significance. But can you imagine how much greater, how incredibly more significant is the second Pesach through Yeshua the Messiah? One of the greatest prophets of Israel, Yohanan the Immerser, or as some Baptists may say, one of ours, John the Baptist, when he saw Yeshua come into Jordan, he exclaimed, it is in John chapter 1, verse 29, John 1:29, he exclaimed, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The fact is that when Yohanan proclaimed these words to the people of Israel, everyone clearly understood their meaning. It was understandable for all of them. Every Jew, no matter how religious he was, knew the meaning of the Passover lamb. He had experienced the annual slaying of the Passover lamb. And he knew the prophetic meaning of the Pesach. Prophetic, the exodus from the slavery of death and sin, the transition to eternal life. At the time when Yohanan came on the scene, messianic expectations had reached their peak. Jewish people expected the Messiah. They were tired of the emptiness, the absence of prophets, the lack of the knowledge of God. They were tired of Roman authority. Even the priesthood system was corrupt. Judaism of that day was the religion of tradition, and people were hungry for spiritual life. They had had enough. Therefore, these few words on their ears from Yohanan the Mercer, when he said, "This is the Lamb of God," these words were absolutely stunning, more gripping than many sermons, louder than a shofar blast. This was the beginning of a new era, the age of the Messiah. Can you imagine? It is so important to remember. Moses announced the coming of the Torah. Yohanan announced the coming of the Messiah. In the scripture, Yohanan was also called the voice of Elijah. It's in Matthew chapter 11, verse 14. Yeshua, he mentioned about Yohanan. He mentioned Yohanan, and he said that, "And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come." Elijah was the prophet who ushered in the spiritual awakening, the spiritual revival from idolatry to faith in the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the same way, Yohanan opened the door for the Messiah. He ushered in a great awakening and the salvation of the world. He invited Messiah Yeshua to come in this world, to come in his ministry. In the time of the Exodus, the blood of the lamb was to be put on the doorposts and the head jamb of the door into the house. When the destroyer, the angel of death, passed by, he did not have the power to kill the firstborn in any house which was so marked by the blood at the door. The blood of the lamb was the price of the redemption of the life of that firstborn. In the same way, today, the blood of Messiah, the Passover lamb, was the price of our redemption. It became our salvation. It became our salvation. And now here is a very important lesson from the first Exodus. Please, here's the thought that really deserves our consideration. Millions of people went out of Egypt and began the journey to the land of promise. They made Exodus from Egypt. They were able to went out of Egypt. They were obedient enough to escape Egypt. But of all those multitudes who had been born in Egypt, only two people were able to actually enter the promised land. From all these multitudes, only two people entered the promised land. You know the names, Joshua and Caleb. And only because they were obedient and kept the faith in God. Here's a thought that really deserves our consideration. We need to not only to accept Yeshua by faith, not only to know the prophecies about him, But it is equally important to keep faith in him to the end. A very important passage from the Bible for today that I would like to read. It is first place of scripture is the 2 Timothy verse 4, chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Let us open together 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Rabbi Shaul, it is about him. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is reserved for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to everyone who has longed for his appearing. I love these words. I have kept the faith. And the second place, it's Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. It is very interesting to compare these two verses. In both verses, we found the word crown. In the first place, crown of righteousness. In Revelation chapter 2, crown of life. Crown of righteousness and crown of life. The word used for crown is Stephanos in Greek, which can also refer to a reward or laurel wreath. In the original Greek Olympics, the winner of the sport competitions was awarded the Stephanos, a laurel crown. I want to read one example of Stephanos in the Bible, in the New Testament. It is a beautiful place, important place, and this place full of knowledge, full of wisdom, and great example for all of us. It is Book of Acts chapter 7, and let us open Book of Acts chapter 7. Let's begin from verse 55. But Stephen, full of the Ruach HaKodesh, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Yeshua standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and crying out with loud voices, they rushed at him with one impulse. Driving him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid down their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he was calling out, Lord Yeshua, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out loud, a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. After he said this, he died. What a lesson for us. The name Stephen in Greek, Stephanon, derived from the word Stephanos, crown. He was a man who kept faith in Yeshua and walked in his righteousness to the end of his life. He was ready to lose his life as a prize, and he won. He was worthy to inherit the crown of life. This is an important truth. Only those who accept the righteousness of the Messiah, who preserve it and walk in it to the end, will be able to inherit eternal life. It is so simple, but so important. It is the call from the Lord to us today. How important it is to be obedient and faithful, not only to get out of the Egypt of sin, but also to enter the promised land, to go through your whole life in complete trust in the Lord. Remember that the Hebrew word of faith and trust has a similar meaning, very close meaning. And we must always be aware that the enemy of our souls is doing everything possible to lose us in the wilderness, to turn our focus away from Yeshua. Revelation 21:7. The one who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Who overcomes. Not the one who starts his path well with Yeshua, but who goes through whole life of on this path receives a reward. A good start without a good finish doesn't get you anywhere and anything. Certainly, there have been many people called by the Lord who were short on patience, who were not sensitive to the Lord's timing, who didn't keep trust, who became disappointed with the Lord and walked away. I would like to give a very instructive story from the life of our people of Israel, and this is a very important story. One of the reasons why, because this story happened right before the days of the great Passover holiday, right before, maybe one day or a couple of days before, when Yeshua entered Jerusalem on a donkey. So it was the same time 2,000 years ago. So let's read the scriptures together. The first scripture is Matthew chapter 21, verse 8. Let's start with it. Matthew 21, verse 8. Most of the crowd spread their clothing on the road, and others began cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. The crowds going before him and those following kept shouting, saying, Hashiana to Ben David, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hoshiana in the highest. John chapter 12, verse 12, it's the same place of scripture, but now it's in the book of John, John 12, 12. The next day, the huge crowd that had come up for the feast, it was Passover, heard that Yeshua was coming to Jerusalem. So they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hashiana, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, Melech Israel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And verse 19. So the Pharisees said to each other, you see that you can't do anything. The whole world has taken off after him. What a glorious moment it was. The Pharisees were afraid that all of Israel was following Yeshua. Thousands of Jews believed in him and praised him. It was a wondrous time. It turns out that many Jews of Jerusalem accepted Yeshua as their Messiah. And please remember that the Jews in Jerusalem were the most religious people in Israel and the most knowledgeable of the Torah and the prophets at the time. And they proclaimed him to be the son of David. It is the title of the Messiah who, according to the prophecies, was to restore the kingdom of Israel and bring the long-awaited freedom to the Jewish people. So they praised Yeshua and saluted him with special prayers. As the king's Messiah shouting, it is from Psalms 118, verse 26 to 29. This is the special prayer. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you all from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, who has given us light. You are my God, and I will offer you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercy endures forever. This prayer traditionally prayed on the wedding ceremony, when we invite groom to come under the chuppah. And they took palm branches in their hands and prayed the traditional ancient prayer of Hoshana Rabbah, the prayer called Hashanot. Does this remind you of the holiday of Sukkot? On Sukkot, we take the lulav and etrog in our hands and shake it in front of us, and we pray the Hashanot, the traditional prayer, Hashana, Hosanna, save us and have mercy on us. Yeshua was accepted as the Messiah and the king by the most religious and knowledgeable people of Israel, by the Jews of Jerusalem. He was accepted as a Messiah, as a king from David. But let's see what happened with the people in a short time. The same crowd that prayed and greeted Yeshua with the words, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Son of David, the King of Israel." They began to cry out just as loudly, "Crucify him," in a short term. What is the reason why there was such a drastic change in their views and behavior? I believe that one of the main reasons why they changed their minds is that they have had wrong expectations of Messiah and did not keep trust in him. They expected the Messiah who would ascend to the throne of David and defeat the enemies of Israel. But they did not recognize the Messiah that the prophet Isaiah spoke of in the 53rd chapter, who came to die for the sins of the people and bring atonement and redemption from the biggest enemy of mankind. The enemy even more notable than the Romans. The enemy was sin and death. I would like to read Isaiah chapter 53, starting with verse 5. It is an important place of scripture for us. Messianic place of scripture. Time of Passover. "But he was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. The chastisement for our shalom was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, each of us turned to his own way. So Adonai has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers, it's silent, so he did not open his mouth." Those Israelites got their beliefs confused. They began a celebration appropriate for Sukkot, but it was Passover. Sukkot is a holiday foreshadowing the establishment of the kingdom of the Messiah on earth and the restoration of Israel. In Zechariah chapter 14, it says that all nations will come to worship in Jerusalem for Sukkot, and that the Messiah will be king over all the earth, and Israel will be clothed in the glory of the Lord. But Yeshua came first as the Passover lamb, the Messiah who will bring atonement for our sins by his own death. And because of their wrong beliefs, his actions did not fulfill their expectations and left them feeling very disappointed in him. Some of them allowed the joy and worship of the Messiah in their hearts changed into anger and thirst for punishment. What a lesson this is for all of us. We are all tempted to be impatient because often we think that God didn't move fast enough for us. We may give up as a calling, but it may take a time to preparation for us to answer the call of God. So we need to be careful and wise and keep the faith and patiently prepare our ways in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, this is the last place of scripture for today. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. "Therefore, do not lose your boldness, which has a great reward. For you need perseverance, so that after you have perseverance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet in a very little time, in a very little while, the coming one will come, and he will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by emunah, by faith, by trust. And if He shrinks back. My soul takes no pleasure in him. And verse 39, this is the promise for all of us. But we are not among the timid ones on the path to destruction, but among the faithful ones on the path of the preservation of the soul. Amen. I'm praying that each of us will be able to fulfill the great Exodus, and after that, not to become lost in the wilderness of unbelief and frustration. We all desire to see the Lord move in our days in mighty and great ways, but let us be humble enough to accept His direction for our lives, to follow Him anywhere He directs us, even if it is in the opposite direction from what we may have expected. In the end, I would like to encourage you to observe Passover with your own Seder, which you can do in a simple way with your family. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider to be a blessing to Beth Israel. I will close with Aaron's blessing, as we normally do at Beth Israel, and then we will return to the Painter home for a final worship song. So let us pray together. Let us pray together. Yevrecha Adonai v'ishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavalecha v'ichunecha. Issa Adonai panavalecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, and let's welcome Eric Painter for the final song. Shabbat shalom.